Okay, we'll read, we'll continue 11th chapter. So we'll first review the earlier session. We'll read the translations of the verses so far.
So text 1, translation. Arjuna said, by my hearing the instructions, you have kindly given me about these most confidential spiritual subjects. My illusion has now been dispelled.
Text 2.
O Lotus Eyed One, I have heard from you in detail about the appearance and disappearance of every living entity and have realized your inexhaustible glory.
Text number 3. O greatest of all personalities, O supreme form, though I see you here before me in your actual position, as you have described yourself, I wish to see you.
I wish to see how
you have entered into the cosmic manifestation. I want to see that form of yours.
Number 4. If you think that I am able to behold your cosmic form, O my Lord, O Master of all mystic power, then kindly show me that unlimited universal self.
So far, you know, Arjuna is asking Krishna to show his universal form, and in the purports we discussed, you know, why Arjuna is asking, not for himself, you know, for others, and also in order to set a criteria of somebody else who poses themselves as Supreme Personality of Godhead. They can also, when demanded, should show the universal form. But people say, you know, you don't have eyes to see, I can show. But Krishna gave the eyes for Arjuna to see. So that also criteria people have to fulfill. So this all mainly Arjuna is asking to show the form, so that people who, materialistic people especially, they can perceive things only through matter, right? So they can envision things like, you know, water, mountain, things like that, and connect to the Lord. So that way they can make advancement. So that's another 3 points. So continue.
Number 5. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, O son of Pratap, see now my opulences, hundreds of thousands of very divine and multicolored forms.
Text number 6. O best of the Bharatas, see here the different manifestations of Adityas, Vasus, Rudras, Ashwini Kumaras, and all other demigods. Behold the many wonderful things which no one has ever seen or heard of before.
Text number 7. O Arjuna, whatever you wish to see, behold at once in this body of mine. This universal form can show you whatever you now desire to see and whatever you may want to see in the future. Everything, moving and non-moving, is here completely in one place.
Text 8. But you cannot see me with your present eyes. Therefore, I give you divine eyes. Behold my mystic opulence.
Text 9. Sanjaya said, O King, having spoken thus, the Supreme Lord of all mystic power, the Personality of Godhead, displayed his universal form to Arjuna.
Oh, this text 10 and 11 are very crucial, no? Prabhupada always quotes this in the context, you know, to show that, no, this. Okay, not this one actually, yeah. Arjuna saw in that universal form unlimited mouths, unlimited eyes, unlimited wonderful visions. The form was decorated with many celestial ornaments and bore many divine appraised weapons. He wore celestial garlands and garments, and many divine scents were smeared over his body. All was wondrous, brilliant, unlimited, and all expanding.
Text 12. If hundreds of thousands of suns were to rise at once into the sky, their radiance might resemble the effulgence of the Supreme Person in that universal form.
Text 13. At that time, Arjuna could see in the universal form of the Lord the unlimited expansions of the universe situated in one place, although divided into many, many thousands.
Text 14. Then, bewildered and astonished, his hair standing on end, Arjuna bowed his head to offer obeisances and folded hands began to pray to the Supreme Lord.
So what Arjuna is seeing is, whatever is happening in the universe, past, present, future, everything at once, the whole universe, everything at once. So it's very, very bewildering, astonishing, and no, we cannot even describe. So that's why his mood was, what is his rasa towards the Lord? Original rasa, friendship, right? So then, what happens now? We discuss that it transforms into because of the universal form, wonder. One of this, there are five primary rasas and seven secondary rasas. Secondary rasas are like wonder, anger, and there are many other rasas. Five primary rasas we know, right? Vatsalya, Madhurya, Sakya, all those five. So secondary rasas, they accentuate or what to say, they add more flavor to the primary rasa sometimes. Like for example, you know, primary rasa between Radharani and Krishna is Madhurya. But sometimes Radharani becomes angry at Krishna. But that anger is in the mood of Madhurya. Right, like that. It's not like now, you know, Darsha is a mode of ignorance. It's not like that. So like that, now Arjuna's primary mode of rasa with the Krishna is friendship. But now he has a secondary rasa, wonder, becomes more and more prominent in his relationship with Krishna. That's what we'll see in his prayers, how he's praying. He's not praying to him as, he's not talking to him as a friend, like joking words or, you know, like that. But he's now praying as Supreme Lord. Text number 15 is Arjuna's prayers.
15. Arjuna said, "My dear Lord Krishna, I see assembled in your body all the demigods and various other living entities. I see Dhamma sitting on the lotus flower, as well as Lord Shiva and all the sages and divine servants.
O Lord of the universe, O universal form, I see in your body many, many arms, bellies, mouths and eyes, expanded everywhere without limit. I see in you no end, no middle and no beginning."
Text number 17. "Your form is difficult to see because of its glaring effulgence, spreading on all sides, like blazing fire of the immeasurable millions of the sun. Yet I see this glowing form everywhere, adorned with various crowns, clubs and pieces."
Text number 18. "You are the supreme primal objective. You are the ultimate resting place of all this universe. You are inexhaustible and you are the oldest. You are the maintainer of the eternal religion, the personality of Godhead. This is my opinion."
19. "You are without origin, middle or end. Your glory is unlimited. You have numberless arms and the sun and moon are your eyes. I see you with the blazing fire coming forth from your mouth, burning this entire universe by your own radiance."
Text number 20. "Although you are one, you spread throughout the sky and the planets and all space between. O great one, seeing this wondrous and terrible form, all the planetary system are perturbed."
Text number 21. "All the hosts of demigods are surrendering before you and entering into you. Some of them, very much afraid, are offering prayers with folded hands. Hosts of the great sages and perfected beings crying all peace are praying to you by singing the Vedic hymns." So not only Arjuna, some of the demigods also were able to see the universal form.
Text 22. "All the various manifestations of Lord Shiva, Adityas, Vasus and Sadhyas, the Vishvadevas, the two Ashvis and the Marutas, the forefathers, the Gandharvas, the Ikshas and the Asuras and the perfected demigods are beholding you in wonder."
Mother, in text 21, demigods are surrendering before you and entering into you.
Oh.
So is it that they are seeing or is it that they are just passing through their life? What is it?
At surrendering before you and entering into you. It's like death, like death basically.
Mm. Mm. Text 23. "O mighty armed one, all the planets with the demigods are disturbed at seeing your great form, with its many faces, eyes, arms, thighs, legs and bellies, and your many terrible teeth. And as they are disturbed, so am I." Yeah, here they are talking.
Hmm. Yeah, now he is coming to fear.
Text 24. "O all-pervading Vishnu, seeing you with your many radiant color touching the sky, your gaping mouth and your great glowing eyes, my mind is perturbed by fear. I can no longer maintain my steadiness and equilibrium of mind."
25. "O Lord of Lords, O refuge of the worlds, please be gracious to me. I cannot keep my balance, seeing thus your blazing death-like faces and awful teeth in all directions of the world."
26 and 27. "All the sons of Dhritarashtra, along with their allied kings and Bhishma, Drona, Karna, the chief soldiers, also are rushing into your fearful mouths.
Some I see trapped with head smashed between
your teeth. You can imagine how.
So this is like future, I think. Right?
Yeah. No, how terrible it could be to see, right? All blood coming and people dying. Text 28.
As the many waves of the rivers flow into the ocean, so do all these great warriors enter blazing into the rocks. Text 29. I see all people rushing full speed into your mouths as moths dash to destruction in a blazing sky.
30. O Vishnu, I see you devouring all people from all sides with your flaming mouth, covering all the universe with your effulgence. You are manifest with terrible scorching rays.
Text 31. O Lord of Lords, so fierce of form, please tell me who you are. I offer my obeisances unto you. Please be gracious to me. You are the primal Lord. I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is.
So Arjuna asks two questions in this verse. First is, who are you? And the second one, what is your mission? That is answered by Krishna 32. Oh, I have to read. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, time I am, the great destroyer of the worlds, and I have come here to destroy all the people with the exception of you, the Pandavas. All the soldiers here on the both sides will be slain. So who are you means he is time. And what is his mission? He's come to destroy all the people except the Pandavas. So that is till 32 we discussed. So now we'll read from 33.
Why is Krishna appearing in that form? Like, is it his actual form?
Yeah.
No, my question is, Arjuna asked him to show his Vishwarupam, right? So what does Vishwarupam mean? Is it his real form or what exactly?
Vishwarupam is universal form. It's considered an imaginary form. It's not in the spiritual world. But still, because it's Lord's form, it's transcendental. And so it's an imaginary form. That means it's basically, it encapsulates all the elements in the universe in a bodily form. Like, you know, hills, like trees are his hair, and sun and moon are his eyes, all the elements in the universe, you visualize them to be a part of a huge body. Then that becomes a universal form. So as the universe gets, destroyed, right, after inhaling of the Mahavishnu, so similarly, universal form, you can say, it disappears. Right? Because it, universal form is one universal form per universe, you can say. Right? So that's why it's temporary. It's not transcendental form. It's not a form which devotees worship.
Yeah,
it doesn't give us, entrance into Goloka.
Yeah. I was wondering why Krishna presents in such a peaceful manner. Like,
because Krishna is also death, right? So he's showing his death personified form. As death, time, or rather time. As time goes on, he's going to destroy everything. So that's what he's telling. Right? And because it's showing past, present and future at once, so it's becoming more evident that, people are as if rushing and dying. Because time, right? As time goes, people are going to die. That's what he's showing graphically. So that's why he's showing like that. But the form in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is described, it's not as terrible as this. No, this is like death is more prominent here. But that form is just like, different aspects of the universe as different parts of the Lord. Like, as I described, eyes and hair and lakes are different things like that. As people can see those and say, oh, this is part of the Lord. And then, I worship this, so I worship the Lord. Like that, they connect to the Lord. It's called pantheism. Yeah. Okay, so text number, this is a very nice verse, 33, very crucial verse actually.
राज्यं संवृतं मायेवते निहिता पूर्वमेव निमित्तमात्रं भव सव्यसाचिन.
Therefore get up, prepare to fight and win glory. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Savyasachi, can be but an instrument in their fight. So some of the important phrases in this verse or points Krishna is saying is, therefore means, why therefore Krishna is saying?
In the previous
everything is already done.
Yes. So it's concluded. As a conclusion, you just get up and fight. It's already, they're already killed. So therefore you get up and fight and win glory. So then you, I want you to get the credit. Conquer your enemies, enjoy the flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement. You know, how did they die? Because of, it's Krishna's plan actually. Krishna wishes all of them to die. Okay, so we'll discuss, you know, is Krishna cruel? And you, O Savyasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. So he wants Arjuna to be an instrument. So this phrase, Nimitta Matram, often you hear in classes, right? People quote in this context, you know, Krishna wants us to be his instrument, Nimitta Matram. This is, we have heard in Telugu also like this, right? Nimitta Matram, in Tamil also. It's all rooted from this Sanskrit phrase.
Also.
Oh, very good, yeah. So instrument. So we'll read few points in the purport. First few lines. Savyasachin.
Savyasachin refers to one who can shoot arrows very expertly in the field. Thus Arjuna is addressed as an expert warrior capable of delivering arrows to kill his enemies. Just become an instrument, Nimitta Matram. This word is also very significant. The whole world is moving according to the plan of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Foolish persons who do not have sufficient knowledge think that nature is moving without a plan and all manifestations are but accidentally formation.
Okay, we can stop here, Mother. So, Prabhupada emphasizing couple of things. Savyasachin, why Krishna is addressing Arjuna Savyasachin? Because he's expert at shooting arrows. So, why Prabhupada is celebrating on this point of instrument? Saying that everything is happening by Lord's plan, we are, whatever we do is just, what to say, namesake basically. Everything is already happening by the Lord's plan. You know, they say not even grass, blade of grass moves without Lord's plan, right? And he is also connecting with atheist people who say that this whole creation happened just as a bang. How can it happen? It all is happening actually, but it's not an accidental formation, but it's all happening by the plan of the Lord. Krishna made a plan, that's why he expanded himself into three Vishnus. So much elaborate work is involved in bringing forth the universes, right? Expands as first Mahavishnu, and then he impregnates some material nature, then universes emanate from his, as he exhales, then he enters as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu into each of this universe, and from the navel Brahma grows, and then he creates a planetary system, and within each of in atom moving and non-moving, he expands as Paramatma. So much design is there, and people say something happened, it's a big bang and all the universes are floating in the air. Right, so nothing happens without an intelligent designer. Right, any design we see, there should be a designer behind it. Recently, I heard that even Newton was a theist actually. So he was discussing with his friend that actually there is a creator behind this creation. And the friend was debating, no, you know, how can it be possible? He's an atheist. He didn't believe. So then they left home. So the whole night Newton worked on creating a system similar to the planetary system with, you know, whatever instruments he can have in this room. So next day the friend comes. Then he says, oh, what is this? So amazing. You know, who created it? No, nobody created it. It just happened like that, you know, overnight it just appeared. He said, no, there should be somebody who created it. How can it happen like this? Are you crazy? He said, yeah, that's the point I'm trying to say. No, he told like that, you know. So then he was able to convince him. So later on, Prabhupada says, then what is this plan? So this whole material creation, as I described briefly, so much is involved. Krishna is taking so much pains to run. He's not painful for him. It's just by his will everything happens. It all is carried out by his material nature. But so much is involved in...
Lot
of intelligence is there, and so much is... he himself expands. Of course, he's not affected. He's still transcendental, even though he's... Material nature is being happening. He enters into material nature, so called, like as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. But still, there is a plan behind this creation. Generally, people ask, right? You know, why God created this world? Do we know what is that plan? What is Lord's plan behind these universes or this material world?
Yeah, would create problem in the spiritual world, so for us to enjoy
separately from Krishna, so we come back here, and once we are exhausted with our enjoyment, then we try to seek.
Okay. So the first point is as Prabhu was also saying, it's a provision for people who want to enjoy separate from the Lord to try to enjoy, right? Like that. And the second phrase Mataji also completed is that for people who got frustrated, there is also a way out. You know, there is a way people can get to know that this is not the place where they need to be, and they can go back home, back to Godhead. So this is also rectification. So it's like prison house actually, right? Prison house is meant to give hospitality for the criminals, like, you know, to do their stuff and also to rectify them so that they can come back to the world and be normal citizens. So like that. It's twofold.
That's what they call it, correction center.
Corrections, the prison house. Okay. So then Prabhupada emphasizes a couple of lines down. What is this plan? We can read that.
What is this plan? This cosmic manifestation is a chance for the conditioned souls to go back to Godhead, back to home.
Come further down. Thus the battle of Kurukshetra.
Thus the battle of Kurukshetra was fought according to the plan of God. Arjuna was refusing to fight, but he was told that he should fight in accordance with the desire of the Supreme Lord. Then he would be happy. If one is in full Krishna consciousness and his life is devoted to the Lord's transcendental service, he is perfect.
Mm. 1 minute. I think somebody got it. Okay. So this whole battle of Kurukshetra also was Krishna's personal plan. So usually some people, you know, they ask, you know, is your God is very cruel. You know, he made sure that this a big war happens and so many people are killed. Right? So what is the answer to that? What are the reasons? Or, you know, how do we understand that? What is the right way to understand that?
Those who were killed in the battlefield definitely got liberated because of Krishna's presence, and probably that's what the Krishna's plan. So, like, basically, alleviate them or rescue them from this. We shall work together.
Yeah, so that's a very important point. So even though they're killed, so-called killed, they're actually they attained liberation. So there are three. Most of them, the enemies, even the enemies on the Kauravas side who were not so inimical towards Pandavas, but they died appreciating beauty of Krishna. So they actually entered Vaikuntha planets. But people who are neutral, they attain only impersonal Brahmajyoti, but still it's liberation. But people who are inimical, like the Shishupala, he attained impersonal Brahmajyoti. Yeah. But still everybody attained liberation. So that's one great thing, you know, if somebody says Krishna killed everything, but actually because it's in Krishna's presence, they actually got liberated. That's one important point. Other couple of...
What did you say, Shishupal, Egypt?
Impersonal Brahmajyoti. Yeah, because he is inimical towards the Lord, he cannot have loving relationship in Vaikuntha planet or in Goloka with the Lord.
Is that different than effulgence?
Effulgence only. Yes, same.
Same.
Shishupala Dandavat, yes, yes. Later on, immediately that one, later on they will go back as Jay and Vijaya. After this they come back again.
Again, only three births, right?
Three births, but
last
one?
Yeah.
After this they, of course they themselves come as Jagai and Madai actually, in Lord Chaitanya's, but it's not like forced, they themselves come. That's how it's described. I will check again, you know. Maybe the interim, I don't know why, you know, he attained impersonal Brahmajyoti and then again it goes back. How it happens, I will check. So then, another couple of reasons is why it's still benefit, or right, what was the plan of the Lord is, this question often asked, Pandavas had to go through so much from the beginning, right? It's so many things, one after the year, so many things. So many devotees also question, you know, why Lord didn't act? even the beginning, like, you know, we also sometimes experience, right? Something happens. My Lord is not acting, you know, so many things are coming on me, so many people are blaspheming me, so whatever. So why, you know, why is not Lord not acting? So same question, no? Pandavas, why Lord didn't act immediately? So the reason is, Lord wanted to have a point where he can bring all these people who are offensive towards the devotees and the Lord one place and finish the business in one shot. That's why he waited until the battle of Kurukshetra. And at the same time, he gave the strength to the Pandavas to bear the situations that they don't lose their Krishna consciousness during the process. And that's what devotees want anyway. Right? So that was Lord's plan, battle of Kurukshetra especially, to bring everybody together and vanquish them. And the second one is battle of Kurukshetra. Why Lord wanted was, he wanted to establish Yudhishthira Maharaj as the emperor, because he knows he's a pure devotee and he's going to rule the citizens in a proper way, setting the, guiding them in devotional service. So he wanted to kill the Kauravas and make sure Yudhishthira is an unconquerable emperor. And the third one is, he wanted to give credit for Arjuna for the fight. That's why he said, you know, they are already killed, but you fight and get the glory. He wanted, because he's so dear to Krishna, he wanted to specifically give credit to Arjuna for the fight. So these are some of the reasons why Kurukshetra, war of Kurukshetra was Lord's plan. So this last phrase, if one is full Krishna consciousness and his life is devoted to Lord's transcendental service, he is perfect. So this means that actually, that if we just somehow devote our lives to molding our life towards Lord's will, Lord's plan, then everything in our life will be perfect. Like, you know, according to the, then the next verse Prabhupada talks about, you know, how do we understand Lord's plan? What is the plan for me specifically? What's the plan overall? All those things. We'll discuss the points later on. But one thing which struck me somehow when I read this was, Bhishma Deva, actually he knew Lord's plan. That Lord wanted him to stay on the opposite side. He is a pure devotee. He is one of the Mahajans, right? Mahajans means we follow in their footsteps in the mood of devotion. Now, what is their devotion towards the Lord? We are supposed to follow them. We have to pray to them. But actually, he is in the Kaurava side. And he seemingly was opposite to Krishna. He was even attacking Arjuna. But in the heart, knowing he is a pure devotee of the Lord, in the heart he knew this is what Lord wanted me to do. This is what Lord wanted me to show, an example that even though as powerful as Bhishma could not be conquered if he was on the opposite side to Krishna. He wanted to set that example through him. So he knew that. So that's why, because he dovetailed his life in that full Krishna consciousness, his life became perfect. Right? He's glorious at the death, he's glorious in the... Right, and then he is recognized as a Mahajan.
And then Arjuna had to ask all these questions, right? Only when he would say Bhishma Deva is when
he has this emotion. Yes. Yudhishthira Maharaj.
Yes. Krishna, that I don't want to fight, and that's when
Bhagavad Gita
was.
No, this is. Oh, I don't know
what to do. Unless Bhishma would have been on the other side, Arjuna wouldn't feel that pain. Dear pain to ask all these
dear
questions.
Pitamaha, yeah. He is very dear, right? Grandfather. That's a good... Yeah, one of the people whom he didn't want to fight. Yeah. So, somehow it occurred that Bhishma Deva's... You know, he knew the Lord's plan. Only... so we'll can talk a little bit more about Bhishma Deva in the next verse as well. Text number 34. Dronam cha Bhishmam cha Jayadratam cha Karnam tatanyan apiyodaviran Maya tamstvam jahima vyastita Yudhyasvate chetasi rane sapna sapatnan. Drona, Bhishma, Jayadrata, Karna and the other great warriors have already been destroyed by me. Therefore kill them and do not be disturbed. Simply fight and you will vanquish your enemies in the battle. This is short purport, we can read.
Every plan is made by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is so kind and merciful to his devotees that he wants to give the credit to his devotees who carry out his plan according to his desire. Life should therefore move in such a way that everyone acts in Krishna consciousness and understands the Supreme Person of the Godhead through communion of the spiritual master. The plans of the Supreme Person of the Godhead are understood by his mercy, and the plans of the devotee is taught as good as his plans. One should follow such plans and be victorious in the struggle for existence.
So first, one of the points Srila Prabhupada is saying is plans are made by the Lord, but he wants to give credit to his devotees, right? That's first point, as he gave credit to Arjuna. Second one is, he's saying that we should mold our life, that we understand the plan of the Lord through the spiritual master. How to understand is through the spiritual master and align with it. Then our life also will be perfect and successful. So then Prabhupada is saying, then how do we understand the plan of the Lord? It's understood by his mercy, and devotees understand that plans. Only devotees can understand that plans. So one should follow such plans and be victorious in struggle for existence. That means if we can mold our lives in the plans of our spiritual masters, this is as good as aligning with Krishna's plan, because they know perfectly what is Krishna's plan, right? So Krishna's plan is to deliver, everybody knows, all of us know, Krishna's plan is to deliver all the conditioned souls. Our spiritual master's missions are to spread Krishna consciousness far and wide. So we can assist our spiritual masters in that mission to the extent possible, then we are aligning with the Lord's plans. Radhakrishna Prabhu always says, don't worry about who comes, who goes. You just preach. That's what pleases to Srila Prabhupada. That's what pleases to your spiritual master. That's all. Simple. We just try to...
Because our contaminated mind and everything. So that's where the spiritual master can guide you, because through his, the pure connection is there with the Lord. Mm. So they have no communication problem or signal problem. For us, there's a problem. That's when we get confused what to do if we think on our own. That's when the spiritual master guides the problem.
So, so general plan is to assist Krishna consciousness, but mercifully our spiritual masters, they can even guide us personally in our lives, at major steps, major turning points in our lives. We can seek their advice. Okay, I want to move jobs, or I want to, any major thing which we feel, which may affect our spiritual lives, right? Okay, we are not consulting them as a, for every small thing we need somebody to sign off or something. It's not like for that purpose, but the purpose is how it affects our Krishna consciousness. It's like, these things like family and job, things affect our Krishna consciousness also based on commute and all those things. And so then we can seek their instruction, and they can, based on their guidance, we can move forward. So that way they can give the plan specific to our conditioned nature, based on how we are situated. They can guide us so that we can make further progress and help in the preaching movement. So like that. So that's why we are so fortunate to have such spiritual masters who are Srila Prabhupada's disciples, who have directly seen Prabhupada's mood, actually their connection with Srila Prabhupada. They have absorbed his mood, and they have lived that mood. So they are now giving that mood to their disciples. So we have here Harivilas Prabhu. So as much as we can take advantage of their association and learn from them and get their instructions, we'll get benefited. So even regarding this plan, like even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada says, somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expansion of the Lord, then he could have established Krishna consciousness all over the world. Why did he only did within India? Only Bengal and within India. Why did he only do? Then Prabhupada said he left some work for us to do. So like that, because Lord wants to give credit to his pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. So like that, Prabhupada also could have had thousands of temples. But when he left, there were 1 or 8 temples. Now his disciples and all of us have some work to do, so that we can help them and fulfill that mission. And by doing that, what do we get is, we get, as Arjuna is getting, we get the glory. We don't want glory, but we get the mercy, actually. Just by endeavoring to help that mission, we get the mercy, because it's a mood of compassion. Okay, so then we'll go to the, oh, this is the last verse. Yeah, we'll go to the last verse. Sanjaya Vacha Eta Shrutva Vachanam Keshavasya Kritanjali Vepamana Kriti 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 Namaskritva Bhuya Evaha Krishnam Sagadgadam Bita Bita Pranamya. Sanjaya said to Dhritarashtra, O King, after hearing these words from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the trembling Arjuna offered obeisances with folded hands again and again. He fearfully spoke to Lord Krishna in a faltering voice as follows. So now he's very, very scared actually. So he's trembling, he's offering obeisances, and he's fearfully speaking with faltering voice. So voice falters sometimes in ecstasy, right? Like, that's one of the symptoms of ecstasy. But here it's a symptom, when we are very scared also we cannot talk. So that is a symptom now, very scared. So we'll read this short purport.
Yes, we have already explained, because of the situation created by the universal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Arjuna became bewildered in wonder. Thus he began to offer his respectful obeisances to Krishna again and again. And with faltering voice he began to pray, not as a friend but as a devotee in wonder.
So now friendship is changed to wonder primarily. So he started to pray. So the prayers we'll cover in the next session. So these are some of the points. So something which we can meditate on this week is like, you know, this point about instrument. Okay, we discussed this several times, right? So we all want to be instrument in Lord's hand. That means want to fulfill Lord's plan, which is passed on through us, through our spiritual masters. So how, the best is if the instrument is sharp, right? If a surgeon is using an instrument, knife, for doing an operation, if the knife is very blunt, it will not be successful, right? The operation. So the instrument should be very sharp. So our role right now is wherever we are, how we are helping this Lord's mission is, if we can purify ourselves. So the way we purify ourselves, that much we are very sharp, that much mercy flows through us to others. If we are pure, we become transparent by our media. So the mercy from Guru Parampara can flow through us. So how we become sharp, how we can become pure is if we are diligent about our practices in devotional service. So the more we are strict about chanting and doing all the processes and reading and being absorbed in Krishna consciousness, the more we are becoming pure, the more we can be instrument in the Lord's hands. So that's like a take home for us, like, you know, how I can effectively organize my life and become more and more Krishna conscious so that Lord can use me as an instrument and help others being closer to Him. We don't even know, suddenly we'll be going in some shopping mall something and we'll be chanting and suddenly somebody will see us and they will feel, they get attracted, they'll come and start coming to temple and start becoming a devotee. Lord can put people in the right place whenever He wants. He can do that as long as we are in tune with this. Suddenly, sometimes you might have noticed, suddenly you feel like going somewhere. And suddenly sometimes you feel you met somebody. Then you feel, oh, I don't even know why I went there, but I understand, you know, I had to meet this person. Did you ever not feel like that? Yeah. So it sometimes, you know, it happens like that.
You don't have any plans, many times it happens.
Yeah.
Connecting the dots is when you realize.
Yeah.
That's why it's like, if we don't revolt to His, whenever something happens in our life, if we don't revolt, then we are accepting His
mercy.
Accepting His plan.
Yes, so correct.
If I'm revolting and my plan may not be different from me, and His plan is a bigger plan, His plan is.
Yeah.
And right now it seems like it may seem like it's not aligned, but it means. I mean, His plan is the plan. My
yes.
plan is just saying something. It's like, right? When I
yeah.
don't do the revolt and accept it as a prasadam, accept it, then.
Yeah.
That's
a very good point. Yeah. Yeah, this is like about, this is a very good point. Devotees face through reversals and the different things, you know. That's also a mode of surrender to the Lord's will, where we accept whatever we get. As that the verse Brahma speaks, Satyenu Kampam Varsh, very significant verse, where he says, you know, a person who goes on and enduring so many turbulences, but still with folded palms, he always pays obeisances to you, such a person is eligible to attain liberation. That's actually qualification to attain Goloka. that whatever happens, we never lose faith in the Lord. We never deter our, or we never give up our service towards the Lord. Now suddenly we say, oh, I chanted so many years, you didn't do anything, okay, now I'll stop chanting. That means it's that a person obviously is not going to go back to God. So that's another point. Yeah, Ma Rompad Maharaj also says, we make our plans, Krishna makes his plans. So at some point it should align. How can we verify whenever our plan is actually in line with Krishna's plan? We can check always. First of all, we can always check, you know. We start with certain thing, right? After a few days, you will actually get a feeling, you know, it's not going to work out. Something, you go with full enthusiasm and everything, you put effort. After some time, you feel like, you know, okay, it's not going. Then you can understand. You can change, you know, this is not what Lord wants. You change it. Other thing is, you can always check with devotees. You know, this, okay, Prabhu, I think, you know, I want to maybe, you know, give up my job and establish a form. Do you think it's a good idea? You know, maybe Krishna wants me to set example to the whole world through my form project. Then somebody will suggest. If, you know, 10 devotees, like 8 of the 10 devotees say, you know, maybe it's not a good idea, means we can understand, you know, maybe it's not Lord's plan. I'm thinking too much about myself. I'm not ready to give up like these things. Then you will check with devotees and with spiritual master. Yeah, gurus. Anything you wanted to add, Prabhu? Instrument.
No, just thinking. You talked about fear, right? So I just wanted to share. When we used to go to Mangalarti, this was maybe. Maybe 2008, 2009, maybe, you know.
Nobody used to come. Only we both used to be there.
So only just me, Shamla, and Bhajavan Prabhu used to do Aarti.
Purti. So we used to sing all the songs, all the Aartis, everything.
So we went to Mangalarti. It's winter. It's you know, like December, January, first week, like that. So then we went, and looks like Bhajavan Prabhu was paying obeisance to Prabhupada, and he heard some sound. Like, you know, somebody knocking on the door or something, heard sound. So when we went, so he told us, you know, I'm so afraid, because he used to stay by himself. I think Aswati Mataji is a different room. So then he went into the altar, and he didn't even turn our side. He was just looking at Krishna, and he was just doing, because he was so scared. And I was sitting on the Prabhu's side, and she is standing on this side. So somebody really, you know, like
window sound came
on the window, right? When you stand on the glass side, some hand came from, you know,
just we saw only hand banging the window.
So hand, I was standing here, something hand came and it banged. Literally, it stopped. I couldn't breathe. No, I was so shit.
Should I go?
So I was, you know, like, I couldn't breathe. You know, this hand just came like this. Then again it went back hand. Then Bhajavan Prabhu, I told you, right? Like, no, I'm not able to talk. And she's also, you know, not able to breathe, talk, anything. But so shocked. Then Bhajavan Prabhu is like, Prabhuji, I think you come this side, don't even stay there. He's not even looking at us. He's just looking at Krishna. He's completely depending on Krishna, actually, that time, you know, for protection. He's like, Prabhuji, you come this side, don't even, you know, look at that side. Then I also moved out, you know, I'm scared too. I just came this side. Then again the hand came.
Prabhu's side, in one of the windows.
The new construction, whatever extension added.
Yeah.
So that side.
Shantasita Hall.
On top of Shantasita Hall, somebody is standing.
Then finally we called.
Yeah, because that was construction. Still it was constructing. So somebody.
So we didn't know whether it's a ghost or.
And he's showing just hand like this, bang, take it. Then immediately I called the police, because I saw him. Because finally I went closer, because I saw somebody's hand, right? I went closer and immediately he came to the glass. And he's not wearing shirt. He's bare, this thing. He came to the front, I was, you know, what? But immediately I called police and police came. and that guy was drunk, you know, he jumped
some drunkard
out,
he came
and police caught him. And he wanted to come to temple, like, you know, he heard somewhere, you know, somewhere about Bhagavad Gita or something he heard, but he wanted to come inside the temple, but he's drunk, so he's doing all these tricks, you know.
So how did he
He's trying to take darshan from window.
Oh. Yeah, because construction was happening, so he jumped on all this and so now I was just thinking, you know, it's the universal form, Krishna. Just for the small thing, you get so scared and, you know, so much of fear.
True.
We have that one inside
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, no, we can just be, you know, we can be serious and we have to really depend on Krishna. Otherwise, for just small thing like this, you know, it causes fear. So death is, you can imagine, it's what, how many times that scorpion
yeah,
that something 10,000. Is compared with, no?
Mm-hmm. And also specifically, Prabhupada said Narasimha prayers is very important. It's Narasimha Dev, no, Krishna, we worship, no, Namaste Narasimha. We worship Krishna, Krishna is the primary, our primary Lord. But Krishna's anger personified is Narasimha Dev. Like, you know, his anger is about, he wants to kill Hiranyakashipu. So in that form, he is especially merciful to his devotees for his protection. So devotees are meant to, when there were a lot of issues happening in some temples, Prabhupada said, okay, he started this Narasimha prayers and he said, you pray every day. And he told, Narasimha Dev prayers especially is meant for the protection of the spiritual master. So whenever we pray, we can say, please protect my spiritual master and protection of the society and protection of devotees for the devotion and whatever it means. No? Death or whatever it is, just protect me such a way that I can successfully complete my spiritual life. That's the prayer we are having.
So the reason I shared was like generally we get bewildered if you are not strong in sadhana and all. Even for small things we get, you know, I couldn't think of Narasimha Dev or I couldn't think of Krishna, nothing came.
Mm-hmm.
It was just fear, I was afraid, you know, who is this, what's happening. So unless, you know, really...
Imagine we are just front of the deities and see how
yeah,
our
deities are there. We are singing actually.
Mm-hmm.
We are singing. I think she was singing. She was playing kartal.
Mm-hmm.
Then I stopped singing. I couldn't follow her.
Yeah, I saw after some time why he's not singing. I was singing, we are looking at Krishna. Then
you didn't see.
I didn't see. I didn't hear because I think kartal was so close, maybe I didn't hear the sound.
Yeah, she didn't hear. Just after that she saw and later.
After that when he's saying, he came near me and he's saying, you know, something is happening, then I stopped and we were, hola, I don't know what happened. Something.
So really, like, so you have to really take it very seriously. Otherwise some small things happen, it just we get, you know, distracted and it's very difficult to take it back, you know, take back the process. When the time is good, like, you know, Krishna has given us all the facilities.
So
you should use it.
Mm.
If you don't use it, Krishna will take one by one slowly. Then it makes it harder. No? Just.
Mm. So we can. Anybody has any points to share about this particular topic?
Good question. You are saying take it seriously means do the sadhana as much as in discipline or
something. Like we know 10 offenses, right? So try to follow all those, so then you get much more benefit. Like in the thank you chanting, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing which causes all other offenses. So if you can try to do attentive chanting, so that helps most of, yeah, that's a good place to start.
And also not only that, you know, are we aligning our life towards becoming a fully Krishna conscious person someday?
Like
at least we should be on the way. It's not like half-hearted, I'm just chanting and rest of my life is, you know, material.
Mm-hmm.
During chanting, I'm Krishna conscious, rest of the time, I'm... At least we should have a goal that, you know, after a few years, I want to be completely absorbed in Krishna, in all my activities, you know. If that is there, then we know, you know, this is the solution, we accept the problems, we accept the solution and we are working on it. So we are on the way. But if you're still not sure and still not clear and everything, then, yeah, we may have some time to go. To get that real conviction and realization. Okay, we stop here.
Or you are just like, okay.